Okay, we begin here on the top of Zion Amud Aleph by the two dots. Itmar, Todah, Sheshachta, the shame, Todah, Tchaveiro. Person who brings a Todah, and then the Kohen processing the Todah does the Shechita in the name of Todah, Tchaveiro. So here it seems to be that there's two issues that are going on, which will become more important in a second, which is that you have two individuals that are Chayav Todah, Reuven and Shimon. Not only each one of them Chayav Todah, but the Todah that they are Chayav is different. So for instance, Reuven's Chayav a Todah because he came out of prison. Shimon's Chayav a Todah because he was cured from some ailment or illness that was serious and that he recovered from that illness, so he has to bring a Todah. So here the individual or the Kohen, because Shechita could be done by a lay person as well as a Kohen, had in mind to do the Shechita for the Shame Todah Tchaveiro. As Rashi points out over here, it's not a case of Shinui Baalim. Shinui Baalim, and the Tosafot would say it more explicitly, is only in a case where you have in mind at the time of Shechita that will be Mechaper on the other individual. So that's not what happened over here, because once it's Shinui Baalim, then there would be no Machloket afterwards. We know that Shinui Baalim is similar to Shinui Kodesh. We learned that before, which is that the Kurban is Kasher, Lo Allah, the Baalim. It doesn't help out the Baalim in that case. So that's clearly not what we're speaking about. But over here, we're speaking about a case in the Shechita. During the process of Shechita, he had in mind the other person's Todah. So here, that's not a Machshava of Shinui Baalim. The question is it a Machshava of Shinui Kodesh? And that's the question. Rabba Amar Kshira. Rabba says you don't have anything here. You don't have Shinui Baalim because you didn't have any mind anything about Zrikat Adam. And again, we saw earlier, we discussed it pretty extensively, that Shinui Baalim only works when you have Machshava in a particular Avoda towards the Kapara or the Zrikat Adam being done for the other individual. Here you didn't have that. So there is no Shinui Baalim. Shinui Kodesh, you need to change it from one Korban to another Korban. That you also don't have here. It's the same Korban. It's a Todah. So you do it L'shem and Todah Acheret. That should be totally fine. And that's what Rabba says. Ksheira. And as Rashi notes over here, Ksheira means Ba'ola Le'Balim. You're totally fine. It works for you. It works. And you've discharged your obligation vis-a-vis this Todah. Reuven's Todah was brought. The person had in mind, whether it was he or the Kohen who was doing the Shechita, had in mind Shimon's Todah, which was a different type of Todah, then Machshava has no bearing on the Korban, and Reuven has discharged his obligation with regards to the Todah that he had to bring. Rav Chista Amar Psula. Rav Chista says it is Pasul. This is a much harder position to understand as to why it is Pasul. So again here, it's clear it's not Shinui Baalim. As Rashi says over here, the Psula is Psula below Alta the Baalim. It wasn't Toled the Baalim, but it can't be Shinui Baalim, because then Rabba would have no reason to argue on Rav Chista. But Rav Chista is saying that it is Shinui Kodesh, and it seems to be that the combination of factors here make it Shinui Kodesh. We're going to see in a second, and it's a Machloka Rabbeinu Tam in the Baalei Tosafot, that when you change one Korban to another Korban, for instance, a Chatat that you bring on Chilev to a Chatat for Dam, or vice versa, that's not considered to be Shinui Kodesh. Because both are Chataot. Even though they're brought for a different Aveira, that's not called Shinui Kodesh. So over here, the fact alone that this person's Chayav Todah for recovering from an ailment and Chayav Todah for getting out of prison, that in itself is not called Shinui Kodesh, because by a Chatat, the Chatat Chelev and Chatat Dam are all considered to be one. So it's the combination of the factors of both. The fact that the Todah is a different Todah, but it's also a different person who's associated with that Todah. And given those two things, that combination, Rav Chista calls Shinui Kodesh. Although the Karen Arad does explain the case up here as being a case of Todah Shishachta L'Shem Todat Chaveiro, where it's the same Nes and there is no change in the reasoning, it's just moving it from his Todah to that Todah of the other party. And since it is Shinui Kodesh, then it's going to be Ksheira in terms of the Korban is going to be brought, but it's low Altal the Baalim. It's not going to take care or discharge the obligation of the Baalim over here. Rabba Amar Ksheira. Rabba says the reason it's Ksheira is Todah, L'Shem Todah, Nishkata. You brought the Korban Todah. The only thing you had in mind was for another Todah, and we've already established that Shalo Lishma means that you changed it from this Korban to another Korban. That you didn't do here. It was a Todah, and you had in mind the Todah. Might have been the wrong Todah, but you had in mind the Todah, and that doesn't create Shinui Kodesh. Rav Chista Amar Psula. The Rav Chista says it is Psula, Because l'shem shlamim didei be'inan. You need to have it done particularly for his shlamim. Rashi and Tosafot argue over here as to the extent of the machloket. Tosafot says the proof that Rav Chisda brings is from shlamim and todah. And therefore he says this is limited in scope to those korbanot that are associated. And he's learning out of the pasuk, which is ubasar zevach todat shlamav, which we'll see in a second, but shlamav means shlamim shelo. And so he says it's particularly associated with the todah over here, because the Torah there makes a demand that it be shlamim shelo, or that it be designated for this particular individual. Rashi says that the machloket is more extensive than that. It applies to any korban. Any korban when you make such a change, which is both a change in the purpose of the korban, as well as the individual whose korban it is, those two together, Rav Chisda say, will cause a problem for you and make it that it's still k'shera, but it's lo alta libalim. And the reason the Gemara brought their argument with regards to todah is because of the proof that they're going to bring from todah. Because the proof text was with todah, so that's why they brought the machloket there. But that's not to limit the scope of the machloket. The machloket applies even in other korbanot. So that's a fundamental machloket between Rashi and Tosafot as to whether you can extrapolate or extend this machloket to other korbanot where Rashi says you can. The Baal Tosafot say it's limited in scope to todah. Amar Rabba mina amin alo. I'll show you that I'm correct. The Tanya, this is a brayta that we brought back on Daf Dalet. Ubazar zevech todat shlamav. Yom HaKrivo et Zivcho, the Todah that is described in Perek Zayin and Parshat Tzav, is brought as a Zevach Todat Shlamav. And what was the meaning of the fact that it's a Zevach Todat Shlamav? Abchani Namar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Ba L'lameid comes to teach you Todah Shishachta L'Shem Shlamim Ksheira. A Todah that is brought as a Shlamim is considered fine and Kosher and Altal L'Balim. Shlamim Shinishchatu L'Shem Todah. The other hand, a Shlamim that's brought as an Todah, Psulim. Psulah means that it's lo alu the balim, but it's still a korban that can be put on the mizbeach, because this is a classic case of lo lishma. Ma hefresh ben zeh lezeh. Why should there be any difference between them? Todah kriyah shlamim, vein shlamim kriyim todah. That is because todah is a subset of shlamim. So if you call it todah shlamim, you haven't changed the name. You're just calling it by its greater category, rather than its particular category. Vein shlamim kriyim todah. But vice versa, a shlamim is not a todah. A todah is a type of shlamim. But if you call a shlamim a todah, then you aren't calling the korban or naming the korban based on what it really is. And that's the failure. But now the diokis. Shlamim l'shem todah psulah. That's only because you did a shlamim l'shem todah does it fail. Ha, todah l'shem todah k'sheira. Had you done it for a todah for the shame of another todah, it would have been totally fine. My lav dechavrei. Must be that he's speaking about his friend's todah. And the diok that you're making is that the todah, l'shem todah, will be fine. Obviously, a todah, for the particular todah you're bringing, if you have that in mind, of course it works, because you haven't changed anything. Question is, what changed over here? The original assumption of Rabbo is that he changed not only the todah in the sense of the purpose of the todah, but he also changed it from the sense of who is the owner of the todah. Like we said before, todah that Reuben was bringing was getting out of prison. The todah that Shimon's bringing is because he recovered from some ailment. And then the deal if you would have out of this breakthrough is if you brought a todah, the shame todah, it'd be k'sheira. That's exactly the case that Rabbi and Rav Chisda argue about. Where it says, well, didei. Maybe it's just his own todah. Maybe it's speaking about didei. Meaning that this individual is chayab two todot. One todah because he got out of prison. One todah because he recovered from an ailment. And the kavanah is from this todah to that todah. About the chavrei, if it was for his friend, my, what would be the din? Psula. That would be pasul. Adatani shlamim, l'shem todah, psula. Litne todah, l'shem todah. Wait a minute, if you are right about that, then the breita could have given a finer distinction. The breita tells you that if you do a todah, l'shem shlamim, totally fine. Vice versa, if you do a shlamim, l'shem todah, it's psula. You don't even have to go that far. You could have said a todah l'shem todah is psula. Just if it was your friend's todah, then it would also be psula. That would be a much finer distinction to say todah l'shem shlamim k'sheira. Todah l'shem todah t'chaveiro psula. That would be a better way to say it than to say shlamim l'shem todah is psula. Koshkei shlamim l'shem todah. And of course, then you could derive from that that if you did it as a shlamim, l'shem todah would be problematic. It says, Shlamim l'shem todah didei itzrichle. No, you need to tell me that Shlamim l'shem todah is problematic, because salka datcha mina, I would have thought, mida todah kruya Shlamim, Shlamim nami kruim todah. V'chi shachet lo l'shem todah lechshiru. The first statement of the Braita is that a todah that is brought to Shem Shlamim is kshera. That could be for one of two reasons. It could either be because it's synonymous, which means the word todah and shlamim could be interchanged and we'd have no problem with it. Or it could be because a todah is a subset of shlamim. The nafkamina of those explanations is what happens when you do it the other way. You do a shlamim and shem todah. If they're synonymous, it would have worked just fine. If they are, so it has a subset of shlamim, then when you reverse it, it fails. And that's exactly what the Braita is coming to teach you. The reason it gave you the reverse case is not because that's the only case that is psula, and something else wouldn't be psula. No, but because it says, even the case of todah l'shem todah could be psula. So why did the Braita tell you the case of shlamim l'shem todah? Because that information is important. If you thought they were synonymous, then if you reversed it, it would have been kasher. Kamash malon, that's not the case. That you can't say that, and todah is a subset of shlamim, and not synonymous with the word shlamim, and that's why you have to bring it that way. But in that way, then the Braita itself is not a proof to Rabbah's position, because Rav Chisken explained the Braita differently, and then it doesn't bring you the information that Rabbah considered to be derived from this Braita, the diok that would have supported his position. All right, now we're going to have a series of memorot from Rabbah. The truth is that we bumped into a number of these prior to this point in time in the Gemara. They were quoted in individual places. Here they're all consolidated in one place. That's the first thing. The second thing is, the first member that we're going to bring here in the name of Rava, we brought back on top Gimel Medbet in the name of Rav. So there, if you look on this side, Mesor Desra says he thinks that it should be Rava, because again, if you look here, we're going to have a series of memros from Rava, and therefore it makes sense that this is Rava here, and then that's Rava over there, and not Rav. Amar Rava. Chatat, sheshachta l'shem chatat, ksheira. So a chatat that you shecht for another chatat is ksheira. As Rashi says, go on chat chelev, shenishchata l'shem chatat dam. He's bringing a chatat because he's chayab because of chelev. And they bring the chatat l'shem dam. Even though he's not chayab for dam, nevertheless they brought it for the shem dam. That's not problematic. Although there are those that want to suggest that if he actually was chayav for dam, that actually would create a problem, because the Gemara in Nazir and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet suggests that if you are chayav a chatat chelev and chatat dam, you separated a chatat out for chelev and then brought it for dam, that actually would be problematic. And the distinction would be that over there you're chayav for both chatot, and therefore when you misappropriate the chatat, that makes it pasul. Over here, where you're only chayav for chelev and they do it for dam, it becomes an out of scope or irrelevant piece of information, the dam or the chelet part, and you brought it the same chatat, and that's what you needed to accomplish in the end. Although the Karen Hara draws a different distinction, saying that the case of the Braita in Nazir is a case where he brings the chatat chelet, and he wants it to be mechaper for the dam, and that's why it fails. Whereas over here, Rav is saying is that he's bringing a chatat, the same chelet, and even though he has in mind for dam, he really wants it to work for the chelet. In that case, Rava says it does work, and according to the Karen Orai, he could be chayav in both chatot. It just depends on what he has in mind to be yotze. He's trying to change the chatat chelev to chatat dam. The Braita says it doesn't work. Rava says that if you have a chatat chelev that was brought the shame dam, but you still want it to be chelev, that will work. The shame ola, you do it for an ola, it is psula. So the latter half of the statement of Rava is very clear. That's our Mishnah. A chatat that you do lo lishma is psula. And it's psula de gamre. So that second half makes sense. The first half of the statement is that a chatat, the same chatat, does work. So my taima, shechat ota lechatat amar rachmano. The pasuk, and we're going to get to this in tomorrow's daf, what's the source for the lo lishma by the chatat? And one of the psukim that we already quoted earlier was v'shechat ota. Ota lechatat. It must be brought particularly for a chatat. Bari chatat, the same chatat, nish chatat. That's why it works, because if you shechted it l'shem chatat, you fulfill that pasuk. The pasuk says shechted as a chatat. You shechted as a chatat. Happens to be a different chatat than the one you were supposed to bring, but it's still l'shem chatat, and there's no failure in the lishma aspect. L'shem olah, on the other hand, that is a failure, because you're not bringing it l'shem chatat. You're bringing l'shem olah, and that is psula. Now, the way we read the Gemara earlier on Gimel and Bet, and the way the Baal Yat Tosfot read the Gemara over here is, the issue is that he has a chatat dam, and a chatat chelev. So he has two chataot that he has to bring, and he brings the chatat for the dam, and then they have in mind that it's a chatat chelev. That is not a failure in chatat. And therefore, this has nothing to do with the previous machloket between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, because Rabbah and Rav Chisda, remember, had two aspects that were different. Number one was that the korban todah that you were bringing was different than the korban todah that you had in mind for it. They were for different reasons. On top of that, it was your korban todah versus Shimon's korban todah. So there were two changes there, and that's where Rav Chisda said it is psula. But over here, Rav Chisda would agree, because here there's only one change, which is chatat chelev to chatat dam. But it belongs to the same person, and therefore even Rav Chisda will agree. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam claims that the case here is a case not only where it's a chatat chelev for chatat dam, but it's also his friend's chatat, in that Reuven's bringing a chatat because he ate chelev, and Shimon has an obligation to bring a chatat dam. And now, when they bring the chatat of Reuven chelev, he thinks about it being a chatat dam for Shimon. Kshera, there's Rabbeinu Tam. The Rova ki Rav Chisda svirle. The Rova holds like Rav Chisda, daha, the Rava idche. Because Rava's proof before was knocked out. So the way that he explains it is that Rova is taking a position over here, which is a chatat, shakta l'shem chatat, is kshera. Kshera here means kasher, v'lo'al ta'ad balim. And if that's the case, he's equivalent to Rav Chisda's position before, which is psula. He didn't mean psula legamre. He just meant that it was psula in the sense that the korban's kasher, but it doesn't work for the balim. And then this would be the same din. So Rabbeinu Tam sees the position of Rava here as actually taking a position in the machloket Rabba and Rav Chisda. And he's upholding Rav Chisda's position in that way, because it's a case where it's both the change in the chatat and the change in the chavero. And then the kshera here would be kshera, meaning that it can be put on mizbeach, but below alta lebalim. And psula would then be psula de gamre. The other hand, the Rashi, the Bali Tosafot, all read this as being a totally different case. It's a case where you've only changed the purpose of the korban. You did not change the baalim of the korban. And in that way, it has nothing to do with the machloket Rav and Rav Chisda, because Rav and Rav Chisda was being made a case where you had a change in purpose, as well as a change in baalim. And so this case is just a case of change in purpose, but it's the same baalim. And therefore, Rava is addressing a totally different issue than Rava and Rav Chisda. Although, there are those that want to suggest that Beresh Rabbeinu Tam, the Rava of Rav Chisda Svirle, Da Rava Yinche, because the Rava's proof from Abba Chanin Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer is rejected, given that the Aloch is like Rav Chisda, and Rava is basically basking like Rav Chisda, that when you have a shonem, mitodat to, the todat chavero, it fails. But that's only true by todah, because there it says shlamav. And what Rav is coming to tell you, that when it happens by a chatat, when you switch from chatato to chatat chavero, that is not problematic. And that's what the Bali Tosafot would say, mashma derotzon lamar, da'i sheshachto l'shem chatat chavero. But that seems to be the case here, that he shechted l'shem chavero. And Tosafot rejects that and says, in here, d'lav achimairi, that that's not the case here. Medulo kamar behedja chaviro. The word chaviro is missing over here. Elamari v'chatat chelev l'shem chatat dam. Talking about a case of chelev l'shem dam. And therefore it has no relevance in the case of todah beforehand. And Rav is making an independent statement that is not correlated or connected to the korban todah before. And now we have another statement from Rav. Amar Rav, this is also a gemara that we just had before on Dav Gimel Amud Bet. Chatat Shishokta Amish Mechuyav Chatat Psula Amish Mechuyav Ula Kshera. You shecht a chatat for someone else who has chayev a chatat, then it is pasul. Amish Mechuyav Ula, and someone who is chayav an Ula Kshera. Reuven is chayav a chatat, and now he shechts it l'shem Shimon, who's also chayav a chatat. That is psula. On the other hand, if Reuven is chayav a chatat and he shechts it l'shem Shimon, who's chayav an Ula, then it is kshera, my taima. What's the reasoning here? Mechiper alav. The pasuk says, with regards to a chatat, that it's mechaper on him. Alav, v'lo al chavero. It has to be that you bring it for him, and not for his friend. You can't have shinoi balim over here. Chavero, dumya didi. It has to be his friend, similar to him. Bemechuyav kapara kimoto. It has to be chayav kapara, just like him. And this, again, is what we saw before. The Gemara brought this same memra back on Gimel Amud Bet, which is when it was discussing the issue of something similar can undermine. something that is outside the scope of the korban that you're bringing, that's not posel the korban. So here, if you have a mind to bring a chatat for someone else who's chayav a chatat, that's within scope, that's a possibility, and therefore it ruins the korban. On the other hand, if you bring it for someone who's chayav an olah, that's out of scope. It's an irrelevant piece of information or thought here, because the person is chayav an olah and not a chatat. So shinui balim, again here you have in mind when you're shechting it to do the zrika d'adam for that person, if that person's chayav a chatat, you get accomplished shinui balim, and now it's psula legamre. On the other hand, if he's not chayav a chatat, he's only chayav an olah, doing the shinui balim really has no bearing over here, because your thought is about somebody who's outside the scope of the purpose or the need for bringing a chatat. Now, v'omer Rava. Now Rava brings another statement, and here we'll read it the way that Girsa and Argamar has it. It is much more difficult to read the Gemara that way, and then we'll come back and explain that there was an alternate Girsa, the Bali Tosfot note, and you can see that on the side, Nusach Acher. Amar Rava, chatat, sheshachta mish enu mukhuyav klum. You shecht a chatat for other Balim that have no obligation. They're not obligated in a chatat. They're not obligated in Olah. Previous statement of Rova was, on another person who's chayav a chatat, psula. That's shinui balim. On another person who's chayav an Olah, that's not considered shinui balim because it's out of scope thought. Over here now he says, if you shecht a chatat on someone who is not chayav at all, psula. Which seems strange. How could it be before that when you shecht a l'shem Olah, that's out of scope thought, that's an irrelevant piece of information, therefore it doesn't affect it. Here, where the guy has no chiyuv whatsoever, then all of a sudden it's psula. Because shein lecha adam b'Yisrael shein mechuyav asei. There's not a single person within Klal Yisrael that is not chayav. Now of course, in tzadik baretz asher lo yechta, there's nobody who can say that I'm perfect and I never did any sin. But here it's specifically focused on mitzvot asei. Now mitzvot asei, there are some, what we call mitzvot asei t'midiyot, that are continuously obligations, and almost impossible for a person not to have violated them. For instance, depending on what you think the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah is Limud HaTorah to learn Torah when you have free time, or is mitzvah Torah to learn all the time unless you have some dispensation not to learn. So that then will have an afkamina as to when you're chayav, but either way that obligation is a pretty broad obligation, and that means that many times you're mevatel nasei, bitul Torah, if you don't learn Torah. Other asays like that, which are these continuous obligations, where if you don't do them or you don't think about them, then there might be an issue of being mevatel nasei. So of course, someone is mevatel nasei, then they have an obligation to bring a korban for kapara. The problem is that over here we're speaking about a chatat, over there you're speaking about bitul asei. Bitul asei, as we already discussed, Olah takes care of that or brings that kapara. V'amar Rava. Rava says, chatat mechaperet al chayavei asei mikal v'chomer. So now, this would be an extension of what we're saying, which is that when a person is chayav and asei, a chatat can cover that mikal v'chomer. Al chayavei kretot mechaperet. If it is successful at providing kapara for something you would otherwise be chayav karet for if you did it b'mezid, al chayavei asei lo kosh again, then over an asei, it certainly should cover an asei. You're relevant to this chatat because of the fact that violation of mitzvah asei obligates you in some form of kapara. That kapara can be covered by the chatat. Since it can be covered by the chatat, all of a sudden you're relevant to the chatat. B'memra debat minahi. Because now you become someone who has a relevance to the korban chatat. As opposed to when you were bringing olah or chayav to bring an olah, over there we said you're not relevant, it's irrelevant information when you try to convert the chatat over to the olah of that individual. Over here, where the person's not chayav anything, then it is considered to be relevant because the chatat could cover him. V'amar Rava, chatat sheshachta mish mechuyav chatat psula, mish mechuyav olah ksheira. That's what we just said before. So I tried to draw a distinction, but my distinction is not really real because if he's relevant by the case here, where he was chayav and asei, then certainly in a case where it's chayav and olah, the only reason you're chayav and olah is because of the fact that you violated an asei. So it should be relevant in both cases. So Gemara says, mikiva lo mechapra, mikufia mechapra. The primary purpose of a chatat is to provide kapara for chataim, for lota, says that you violated that have a chiyuv karet associated with them. Mikufia, Rashi again defined as expressed before, but floats on top a derivative of that is, it provides in a secondary manner also kapara for an aseh. But that's not its primary purpose. And so now, you still have to draw a distinction. That in and of itself is not enough. But what the Gemara is saying is that when you have a chatat that is providing kapara for a chait, and then you add on top of that a kapara for an aseh, that can be taken care of by the chatat as a secondary matter. On the other hand, if you're really chayav and olah, then the chatat can't come and discharge that obligation because that's not its primary purpose. In and of itself, that's not enough information. This is where Rashi gives you the answer. Hilkach, amish mechuyav olah ksheira. Someone who's absolutely obligated in an olah, the chatat can't provide that kapara because that's not the primary purpose of the chatat. Kevan. So here there's a machloket in the girsa. The way that we have the girsa in our Rashi is kevan to hifrish olah. This is what you just said, that when you have an olah, you can pile on everything onto the olah. So if you've already now chayav an olah, and you've been mafrish that olah is going to cover everything that you need. And therefore the chatat is no longer relevant to this individual, because he's got his olah, which is capturing all his violations of a mitzvah asay. On the other hand, if he's not mafrish an olah, then he has all these averot that are hanging on, and then he becomes relevant now because the chatat could actually take care of those olot for him, and that's why he's then relevant to the korban chatat. So that's the distinction that now we're drawing within the position of Rava. If you bring a korban chatat for Reuven and then have in mind for Shimon who's chayav and olah, and Shimon already took off and separated out his olah, over there it's going to have no bearing. Because the chatat of Reuven has no relevance to Shimon because Shimon doesn't need kapara anymore. He cleaned the slate with having his olah be designated. And then all his bitul asay or mitzvot asay get piled onto that olah. And therefore he doesn't need any kapara. On the other hand, if Shimon has yet to be mafrish and olah, then he has these bitul asays that are associated with him. And now the kapara of the chatat becomes relevant to him because the chatat could have covered those asays in that situation. That's the girsa that we have in Rashi. If you look in the sheet of Begumvetzit, Otchet, he says not kevan de hifrish, but rather kevan de nadar. Since he took a neder, that's the case. Meaning that if you have a separate obligation to bring an olah, then the case of the chatat is not going to help you. Because the chatat can discharge obligations vis-a-vis an olah when it's dealing with violations of an olah. But it can't do for you is discharge your obligation when you're actually obligated to bring an olah. So if you take a neder to bring an olah, then if you have in mind to discharge the obligation from this chatat to that olah, that's not going to do the job. Because the olah is the primary purpose to take care of the assays, but that's not the primary purpose of the chatat. Therefore, the chatat can't do for you what the olah was going to do because you now made a neder and you're chayav to bring an olah. The other hand, if you never took a neder and you're just chayav an olah because you did some chataim, over there, the chatat can cover that problem because that's what a chatat does. It's mechaper. And it can be mechaper on the chataot of a chatat, but it also can be mechaper on the chataot of an olah. And that's why it'll be relevant. Those are the two different ways to read within Rashi, but also following the girsa that we have, that Rava made two statements, and both of them were about a chatat. The first statement was that a chatat that is brought l'shem klum for someone who has no obligation, psula. The second one, which is a chatat that's brought the shame olah, is fine. And the distinction here being that in a case where you separate out the olah, either in the one girsa of Rashi, that covers all the chatot, so then there's no relevance to the chatat, or in the second version of Rashi, there was a neder, you took a neder to bring an olah, then in that case, the chatat can't cover that neder, and therefore there's no relevance to that case. But in a case where either you weren't mafrish an olah, or you didn't take any neder to bring an olah, in that case, the chatat is relevant because it provides kapara, even for mitzvot osei, as a secondary kapara. And that's why if you do an olah, l'shem somebody who has klum, so klum means either he has no averot because he already was mafrish an olah, or he has relevance here because he was not noder an olah, in that case, the chatat is now the shame balim acherim, and a chatat zan shlo lishma is psula. That would be the explanation. Just to add on, I mentioned this in yesterday's daf, but the idea of a chatat is distinct from that of an olah. And that is, a chatat is coming to repair a violation that you did. And a violation, in the case of a chatat, means that you violated a lota, say. God said not to do something, and you did it anyway. That's really a rebellion against God. You're doing something where you were specifically mandated not to do that item. In that case, you have two problems. You have one problem, which is the violation needs to be punished. And the number two problem is that you've now severed in some ways your relationship with Hashem. So the chatat comes to deal with those issues. The chatat comes to, first of all, bring you kapara. Kapara means to put up a shield and a tris before the peraniot or onish that would come. That's to stop that part of it. And to deal with the begida, the rebellion side of it. On the other hand, there's a secondary aspect of the chatat, which is you're trying to repair the rift that happened between you and Hashem. The other hand, olah that is coming really is only dealing with one of those aspects. Because a bitul aseh is not the type of begida, rebellious type of behavior. It is, I would call, somewhat of a laziness in the relationship, which is that you could have enhanced your relationship. You could have done more to show your subordination to Hashem or to show your love for Hashem by doing more mitzvot aseh. But when you don't do a mitzvot aseh, it's like a sheva al taseh, all that means is that you're not so interested in the relationship. You're not pursuing the relationship. In that case, we're not talking about a rebellion. We're talking about a weakening or a lack of interest in the relationship with Hashem. So there you need to rectify that by bringing an olah to show I'm re-engaging. I really am interested. The fact that I violated these essays, you have to do tshuva, obviously. We're going to see in 1 second. But in order to rectify it, I need to bring an olah to deal with those mitzvot essay to restart or reignite the relationship like it was before. So the olah is coming for that purpose. So that's, first of all, why, again, in yesterday's daf, we discussed why a chatat can only come over one aveira, whereas an olah can come over multiple aveirot. And that's because a chatat is trying to deal with a particular issue, rebellion, and protect you from punishment. The olah is coming to rectify the relationship as a whole. It's not trying to deal with a particular aveira. It's trying to do an attitude towards your relationship with Hashem. Therefore, an olah can cover multiple things. But that means that a chatat has subsumed within it both aspects. It has the aspect of the kapara and the onesh. But also on top of that, once you've dealt with that, it also helps to rectify the relationship. And that's what it means here, that mikiva lo mechapra, the primary purpose of a chatat is not the repairing of the relationship or reigniting the relationship. The primary purpose is to deal with the rebellious behavior and the onesh that is associated with the particular chait. But mikutia, it also has that additional or second aspect to it, which is rebuilding the relationship. So that chatat can do what the olah does because it has embedded in it that as a secondary item, the rebuilding or reinstating of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's, again, to explain this based on the girsa that we have, as well as what is the hashkafa behind it. But if you go back to the Gemara before, in Vamarova, the Balei Tosafot pointed out, and again, on the side there, he says, Nusach Acher, is that Vamarova, Ola, Sheshachta Mishenu Mechuyav Klum, Psula. Someone shech say Ola for somebody who is not Chayav at all, Psula, it's problematic. Now all of a sudden it makes a lot of sense. You are bringing a korban olah, and then the person brings it to shame someone else who needs an olah. What do you mean? They didn't have the obligation of an olah. It was a case of someone who was not mechuyav anything. The answer is, that's just not true. There's nobody who's not mechuyav for a bitul aseh. That means that everybody really is a party when it comes to an olah. And therefore here, when you did it, the shame, the other balim, then it's psula because you did a shinui balim over here. And that shinui balim is relevant, as opposed to the case where you do a chatat l'shem olah, which is the next statement of the Gemara. If you do a chatat l'shem olah, that's not psula. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, doesn't Rava say that a chatat should cover an aseh mi shom kal v'chomer? If that's the case, then why should that be any different than an olah l'shem somebody who has nothing? Then a chatat, l'shem olah, should provide that same type of coverage. So the Gemara answers that that's different because a chatat's primary purpose is to provide kapara for the chatat. Its secondary purpose is to provide kapara for an olah. But that's exactly it. It's its secondary purpose. And therefore, you can't say that an olah is relevant to a chatat. On the other hand, someone who does klum, they are relevant to an olah, because you're always relevant to an olah, because you're always in violation of aseis. And therefore, an olah that's done for someone who's not chayav anything is really not true. It's not chayav anything. They are chayav something, and olah is providing the primary kapara for a violation of aseis. In that case, you are relevant, and that's what creates the psula over there. And that's why Rava's first statement is an olah for someone who is l'shem klum is not considered to be irrelevant, but rather is within scope Because everybody's chayav for essays, therefore everybody's chayav in olah. And that means in olah, for the shame olah, is shinoi balim. And so therefore it would be psula, it would be brought as a korban, but not olah the shame balim. On the other hand, a chatat l'shum olah is out of scope and is irrelevant information. Even though Rava says that a chatat can cover that which an olah needs, it's still not the primary purpose of the chatat, and therefore it would still be considered an out of scope thought. And that's why it would be different. And that's why the Gemara actually reads much smoother now about the explanation of Mikiva lo mechapra, mekufya mechapra. Now, v'amarova, again, we had this back on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. V'amarova, ola sheshachta shelo lishma, yishachta an ola for not the right purposes. So now it is going to be a kosher korban, but lo alta lebalim. Nevertheless, asur litzrok tama shelo lishma. You can't then go and do the next avoda shelo lishma. Ibaite makra, ibaite masvora. Some say you can learn this from the pasuk. Some say you can do it just logically. Ibaite makra from the pasuk, which is motzas vatecha tishmor v'chule. That's based on the gemara before that the pasuk has in it the word neder and nidava. Why does it have the conflation of the terms? That's what the gemara said. If you bring it properly, it's a neder. You bring it improperly, meaning that you had a machshava shel lishma, it turns into a nidava. And then we said there, just because it's a netava, doesn't give you permission to have a makshava shelo lishma. So you have to bring the korban now as a netava, but the netava has to be done properly. And that means that you're still restricted from having an improper thought. Ibaite masvara, the shama masvara is, mishum da ban shani ba, just because you made one mistake or changed one thing, you should go and then change it again. And that's again the logic that we saw before. Mishachal shum, shuv yochal shum, just because you ate garlic doesn't mean you should have more garlic. Or just because you did one wrong doesn't mean you should do two wrongs. Kedarish papirka, like we saw at the beginning of the perek, the truth is that for the same number of words, they could have written exactly what's written on the bed on the medalif, where the Gemara says, Mishum deshani ba, kohani, lishne ba, belezo. Just because you change that, you're going to go on and then change it even more. There's no reason to say that you could just add up demerits just because you did one thing wrong. Now the Gemara says, Vama Rava, again, more memorable from Rava, Ola haba'al achar mita, an ola that is brought after the death of the individual. So we saw cases like this before. For instance, where someone is chayav an ola and a chatat, like a yoledet, and she already brought her chatat, separated out her ola and passes away. We say that the yorshim bring the ola on their behalf. But that would be true of any ola that belong to the balim. If they passed away, the yorshim bring the ola. Shachta bishinui kodesh psula. If you shecht it for the wrong korban, then the korban is psula. B'shinui balim, sheira. On the other hand, if it's not b'shinui balim, it's totally fine korban, because the ain balim lachar mita. Once the person passed away, there are no real balim for this korban. So, number one, we say that shinui kodesh still has an impact that makes it psula. What the nafkamino of that is, Tosafot already discussed. If shibuta doraita, that means that the obligation to discharge this and the assets of the estate are encumbered to that, that is a Torah principle, then if your shim fail by doing shinoi kodesh, then they're going to have to bring another korban to discharge this obligation of the olah. If you think shibuta lav doraita, then Tosfot says it can be the case where you were mafrish a second korban achrayut, and then if you bring the wrong korban, it's as if it was lost, and that would obligate you to bring the second korban to replace the first korban. But in either way, it becomes psula. Psula here means that it will not discharge the obligation, and you'll have to bring another korban, even though it's going on in the mizbeach. Bishuni balim, if you change the owners or the name of the person who's on it, you have a wrong makshobo with regards to the balim. Ksheira, ksheira here means ksheira the gamre. Because since the balim already passed away, shuni balim has no relevance over here. The only obligation is to get this korban on the mizbeach. Owners, the owners passed away, and we saw already that once you pass away, Ritzui kapara are not relevant to you with regards to a korban, and so therefore you're dealing again with out of scope thoughts because they're not relevant to this korban at all. Rav Pinchas prayed to Rav Ami, who we saw on Daf Dalet Amud Bet, where we said that the differences between shinui kodesh and shinui balim is that shinui kodesh applies after death, where shinui balim does not apply after death. There the Gemara said, wait a minute, there's Rav Pinchas prayed to Rav Ami who says it does apply. It's Amar Yesh Balim Lachamita. There is an issue of balim after death. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Pinchas Breid Rav Ami, so he queried of him about his opinion. Dafka kamar mar, yesh balim lachar mita. Are you saying that there is absolute necessity to have the balim in mind? And that means that if you had the balim in mind, it's kshira. If you didn't have the Malik Memayim, it would be psula. Psula means it would be brought without discharging the obligation. And therefore you're going to have to bring another ola to discharge the obligation. Or are you speaking about the other issue that we discussed on Dapei Amud Bet, which was when you have multiple assays, can the ola take care of that? Meaning that if the original owner of the korban is no longer around, and they don't need the ola to cover the assays, that's what we said before, it can cover the assays of the yoshim. And so therefore, do we see this as being that yesh balim to the ola? And that's what you meant to say? Does it fail to provide the kaparat to the yoresh? Because he ruined the korban by having the wrong balim in mind. Now won't provide the kaparat for him. That still doesn't mean he has to bring a new korban. He just lost out on the opportunity to get kaparat from that korban because he did shinui balim, but not that the korban is psula in the sense that it's lo atal balim. Or did you mean literally it's lo atal balim, which means now you have to bring a second korban to discharge the obligation of the person who passed away? So he says, Amalei davka kamina. I meant it seriously, and I mean that you lost the balim here, and now the korban is psula, which is lo atal balim, and the yoresh is now going to have to bring a new korban. Bama Rava. Now another statement from Rava. Ola doron hi. Ola is a gift. Heichi dami. What does that mean? An ola is a gift. E daleka tshuva. If the person did tshuva and he needs to bring an ola because he violated an assay or a lavani talk the assay and he didn't do tshuva, zevach rishayim toeva. Hashem's not interested in the korbanot of a rasha, the pasuk in Mishle, which basically says that bringing a korban by itself is not providing you kapara. The korban is brought in conjunction with tshuva, and that's what provides the kapara. V'itika tshuva, if he did tshuva, hatanya, don't we have the braita from Yoma, avara mitzvah tasei, v'shav, person who violates a mitzvah tasei and does tshuva, lo zaz misham, hachem ochlim lo, he gets kapara and mechila immediately, he doesn't have to have anything else back him up or take care of him in this matter. Elash mamina, so what do you see? Dorono, if you bring as a neder and a deva, obviously it's a doron. But even in cases where you're obligated to bring an ola, that obligation was already discharged when you did tshuva. If you didn't do tshuva, the ola is not worth bringing anyway. It's not going to provide you the kapara you want. If you did do tshuva, then the bitul assay is already wiped out, and then the korban that you're bringing is just a additional benefit or a gift that sits on top. It's not really functioning as a kapara, which goes against almost every statement that we just saw before in Rava, as well as the Gemara's before. Now, Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a bright that supports this. Amar Reb Shimon, Chatat Lama Ba'a. Why is a chatat brought? It says, Lama Ba'a, L'chaper. What do you mean, why do you bring a chatat? You bring a chatat to bring you kapara. Ela Lama Ba'a Lifnei Ola. Why is a chatat always precede the Ola? That's what we learned in the Gemara in Horiot, that we have a paradigm that's set by the Korban Olev Yoreid, that the chatat always precedes the Ola. Because it is similar to the Praklit, Shinichnas, or advocate that goes in on your behalf, Ritza Praklit, once the advocate has attained the forgiveness of the king, Nichnas Doron Acharav, then you bring in the gift afterwards to reinforce it, to reestablish the relationship. This goes back to what I said before, the difference between a chatat and ola. That's what's being described over here. You bring the chatat first in order to deal with the violation that happened, the getting of a mitzvah lotat, say, the rebellious behavior, you need to rectify, you need kapara for that, that the chadat deals with. The ola that comes afterwards, then is a doron, meaning that's part of reestablishing the relationship and improving the relationship. It's not just reigniting it, but really restoring it to its previous state, and that's what it means, that the gift comes in afterwards to enhance the chadat. Now, the Baal Tosef will point out that even though we have numerous occasions where you bring a chatat and ola together, and the chatat has nothing to do with the chait, and nevertheless we still say the ola comes after the chatat. Because examples of the chatat, yoledet, the chatat mitzora, the chatat nazir, all those are broad because they are trying to be machshir, the individual. They're giving them the right then to eat in kodesh and enter into the mikdash, freedom of their tumah, whatever restrictions they have. So it's a matir, but it's not coming over a chait. He says, nevertheless, lo plug. We make no distinction. All chatot come before an ola, even though in some cases it wouldn't be as relevant as you would have thought, like in the cases where it's not really brought over a chait. Or, the Baal HaTosef would have not done this in the Masechta so far. I've pointed out a number of times that they think those chatot that are brought for situations in which they are being a matir, that there's no chet involved. But we know that the Gemara in other places indicates that by Mitzora, Nazir, and Yoledet, that there is some chet that the chatat is being brought for. And obviously then you could explain it as being a regular type of chatat, even though it may not be exactly the same. And I think then again, hashkafically, what we spoke about with regards to Doron is that the Olah's purpose is to reignite or to restore the romantic, loving relationship between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea of the Doron, the present that you bring after you've gained kapara, after you've gained forgiveness, whether by a chatat that is done through the tshuva and the korban itself, or by a mitzvah to say that's done through the tshuva itself, then you bring the Doron on top of that to provide you with that additional enhancement of the relationship. Although then it makes it harder to understand before when the Gemara said with regards to a chatat that it is mikiva lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra, that provides kapara for a chatat as its primary purpose, but then on a secondary means it also provides that additional doron aspect of the ola, then in that case, why should you have to bring a ola after the chatat? The chatat has that built into it, and that's what makes it a little difficult to understand Rava's statement over here. It seems to undermine everything that we said before. Although you could possibly say that Rashi over here, in explaining it's a doron, says that it is kabbalat panim. It is the ability to appear before an individual. And that means that maybe he's translating the word kapara similar to the way that it's used by Yaakov Avinu when he sends a gift to Esav. Because there he says, achapra panav v'mincha, that maybe I can then placate him or have an audience with him with regards to the bringing of this gift. And so therefore the word kapara over here means to have an audience with. And then you'll have to explain above also the word kapara in those contexts to mean kabbalat panim and not kapara in the sense of atonement. But even so, some of the questions still remain, because then why do you need an ola on top of a chatat if a chatat provides that type of kabbalat panim? Although the Ramban ala Torah seems to distinguish between different types of violations of an asay, which is a violation b'shogeg of an asay, that tshuva can simply take care of. And then the ola in those cases would just be a doron or a gift on top of it. But in a case where you violate an asay intentionally b'mezid, over there, the korban is a necessity to attain the kapara. That goes back to what we said before, that that type of violation involves a downgrading of the relationship between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then the Ola is trying to reinstate or reignite that to the former state. But that would only be true when we're speaking about a violation of Bemezid. And that's what the Gemara was speaking about before. Over here, where he's speaking about a Doron, is in a case where it was a violation of Bishogeg, where not only is it not a type of rebellious behavior because it wasn't an affront that you did when you violated a lota say, but even the lack of accomplishment of the essay was really an accident in a shogeg. And so the korban ola now is not being brought as a kapara, but simply as a, as Rashi says here, a kapara panav, a greeting type of gift to go to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and just to say, listen, whatever happened before was just an accident. It's not that you need kapara through that ola, and in that way you could distinguish between the Gemara previously and what's being said now in the Gemara about it being a doron. And now the Gemara says, chutz min ha-pesach v'chatat. The Mishnah says that anything that's lo lishma, the korban is fine, except it's lo alu the ba'alim. The exceptions to that were the pesach and the chatat, where were they done lo lishma, that they are sulim the gamre. So pesach minolon. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know the pesach? The truth is, we already established in the Gemara that Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim is problematic. So why do you need a source? You can use a source that all the other korbanot use. The problem is that the pasuk that told us that has application outside of a shlamim was the pasuk in Parshat Tzav of Zot Torah, laula, lamincha, v'lachatat, v'lasham, v'lumilim, v'lzevach hashlamim. So over there it gives you a list of korbanot that have a hekesh between them. Absent from that list is the Korban HaPesach. So that's the Gemara's basic problem here, which is Korban HaPesach, we don't even know the baseline about the fact that Lo Lishma in Shinui Kodesh or in Shinui Balim has any relevance over here, because we don't have any pasuk to teach us that. Now, even though Pesach is a subset of Shlamim, it is different enough and significantly different from Shlamim that we wouldn't automatically assume that it has the same din as a Shlamim. The pasuk says in Parshat Re'eh, "Shamor et Kodesh Aviv, Basita Pesach, L'Hashem Elokecha." you do in the springtime, make a Pesach Hashem Elokecha. So here I see the Pesach, the Gemara says, she'ekol esyot of the Shem Pesach, that all of its actions, all of its activities have to be done the Shem Pesach. Gemara says, Ashkechan Shinui Kodesh. So in that way you covered Shinui Kodesh, which is asiotav. Everything has to be done the Shem, that particular Korban. Shinui Balim Minalon. How do we know that Shinui Balim applies with Pesach as well? Dichtiv. Because the Pasuk in Parshat Bo says, V'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem, that you'll say that this is a Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. Shetei Zvicha L'Shem Pesach. So here it has to be that it's done L'Shem Pesach. But that is a repetition of what we saw before. L'Shem Pesach is also Shinui Kodesh. And we'll here again, we'll use Imeinu Inyan L'Shinui Kodesh, Neul Inyan Shinui Balim. Since we don't need it for Shinui Kodesh, we already got that from the Pasuk in Re'eh. Therefore, we utilize it for Shinui Balim. And even though, as the Bali Tosafo point out, it would have made more sense to flip the Psukim and learn from Parsha Bo first and then Re'eh, over here the Gemara did it out of order because Pasuk in Parsha Re'eh says Asiya Bayit, which can encompass all four Avodot. And therefore it's a broader scope. And that's why we wanted to use it first to establish the baseline that Shinui Kodesh is problematic. And then now we have an additional Pasuk that's speaking about Shechita. By that one particular Avodah, now we also have Shinui Balim because of Einu Inyan, the Shinui Kodesh, Deol Inyan, Shinui Balim. Ashkechan the Mitzvah. So now you explain to me that there is Lechatchila, you should do this. But as we noted before, when it comes to Kodoshim, if you have a halacha that's brought, it's only brought once, that means that Lechatchila, that's the way you're supposed to do it. If it's Shana Gavah Ketuv, the Pasuk repeats it, then it's la'akev. So over here, the Gemara says, Ashkan the mitzvah, la'akev minolon. How do we know that there's nikuv? Amakra, it's a pas, levakta pesach l'Hashem Elokecha, that you have to bring a pesach to Hashem Elokecha. So now you have another pasuk that says, v'cha l'Hashem pesach. So that duplication makes it that you have it la'akev. So matkif lo rov safra, hai v'zavakta l'hachi hudata. That pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, that's what it's coming for? Hi, mi baile the Rav Nachman. We need that for the limud of Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman amar Rav Baravua, minayim lamotar Pesach shekarei shlamim. How do we know that a leftover Pesach is brought a shlamim? For instance, he lost his Pesach, then brought another korban of Pesach, a Pesach, and then finds the original Pesach. Or he has two psachim, one that he separated out, the other one the achrayut. How do we know that that motar of Pesach, that leftover Pesach, gets brought as a shlamim? Shnabai? Zavakta Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzonu Bakar. It's a big problem, the Pasuk in Re'eh. It says that you bring the Korban of Pesach from Tzonu Bakar. It also says there, Ubishalta, that you cook it. It seems to be at odds with the description of the Korban of Pesach in Parshat Bo. In Parshat Bo, you can only bring a Korban of Pesach from Tzon, number one. And number two is you can only bring it Sliesh. So what is that Bakar and Tzon doing there? Halloween Pesach Baal Amin HaKvasim Amin HaYizim. It only comes from Tzon, which are sheep and goats. So then, why does it say over there, Bakar Tzon? Mikan, the Motara Pesach, She'e the Davar Abba Min Tzon Min Bakar. To tell you that the leftover Pesach, or the excess Pesach, is brought as a Shlamim, because that goes to something that is Tzon Bakar. And what is the definition of something that comes from Tzon Bakar? That is Shlamim. Now, the truth is that there are other Korbanot that come from Tzon Bakar as well, including the Korban Olah. And what Rashi says is, the Gemara is saying that it comes from all Tzonu Bakar. So what's unique about the Shlamim is, number one, you can bring it from both Tzonu Bakar, but there are other Korbanot, like an Olah, that does have that same din. The second thing that is unique about a Shlamim is that you can bring it both from a Zachar and a Keva. It's gender neutral. It does not matter whether it's a Zachar and a Keva, you can bring a Shlamim. That is not true by other Korbanot. All other Korbanot could either be brought by a Zachar, or from a nekeva. A chatat can only be brought as a nekeva. Onola can only be brought as a zakar. And a sham is always a zakar. And even though there's the seir of the nasi, which is the zakar in the world of chatat, each one of those is separate. The chatat ayachid has to be a nekeva. The chatat of the nasi has to be a seir, has to be a zakar. So shlamim have that unique aspect, which is, they're the only thing that can come from all tzon and bakar. Both types of animals, as well as both genders. And that's why we know that the Motar Pesach is a Shlamim, and that's what we need that Pasuk for. Although Tosfot then adds on a little more Tom to Rashi and says, not only is it true that the Shlamim is the only thing you can bring, Zachar Nekeva and Tzonu Bakar, but also it makes sense to put a Kodshim Kalim by Kodshim Kalim, which means to make it in Pesach, which is Kodshim Galim, into a Shlamim, that is Kodshim Galim, and not make it into an Ola, as well as the fact that we have other Limudim, or excess Psukim, seem to indicate that it's a reference to Shlamim. Ela Marav Safra, Vizavakta Pesach, the Kedarak Nachman, you're right. Zavakta Pesach comes to teach you the dinner of Rav Nachman, and Motar Pesach and Shlamim. The Limud comes like this. Shemoret Chodesh Aviv, and then you need Vasita, Sita is the important word there. That's le mitzvah b'shinui kodesh. That comes to teach you that l'chatchila shinui kodesh is problematic. V'amartem zevach pesach. Then the pasuk of v'amartem zevach pesach is le mitzvah b'shinui balim. To teach you that shinui balim, l'chatchila must be done for the proper balim. Who? The word who afterwards is la'akev. Ben hocha. That comes to teach you in either instance that it's not just l'chatchila, but even b'diavad, there is a requirement for it. The truth is that there are two ways to learn the Gemara over here. The way that Rashi learns and the Tosafot offers this as one of the alternatives is to say, the who is me'akev for everything we know. By Shinui Kodesh, we know all four of Avodot, because it says Vasita. So that covers all four of Avodot by Shinui Kodesh. The who then lays on top of that and says, all of that is la'akev. By the case of Shinui Balim, we had it by Zvicha, because we're using the Pasuk of Ramatam Zevach Pesach, Zevach is Shchita. So we know l'chatchila that you need to have the right thought with regards to Balim in Shchita, and then the Hu will come along and make it Be'im Me'akev. So that means that you have Shchita la'akev by Shinui Balim, you have all four Reodot la'akev by Shinui Kodesh. And then the next question of the Gemara is, Bashkan Zvicha, you took care of Shchita, Sharvodot Minolon, where did the rest of the Avodot come from? That is coming to explain how do you get the other three Avodot by Shinui Balim to also have this same din. Although you could have explained the word who over there, Zemim Akev by Shchita alone. Which means that it's written by Amartim Zevach Pesach Hu. So the Hu is relating back to the Zevach or the Zvicha, the Shchita. And that means that you've now found that there's an equal by Shchita of Shinui Kodesh, and you have an equal by Shinui Balim. How do you get it to apply that to the remainder of the Avodot? Either way that you read it, the answer to the Gemara is Holo Bugali Gali. It already told you, you can extend it from that. And the truth is that that's very problematic, because we just saw before in the Gemara, when it first attempted to figure out that you need these dinim of Lishma by all the Avodot, it tried to extrapolate from one Avodot to the other, and the Gemara says you can't do that. It rejected this view of Holo Gali Gali. And so then how come the Gemara over here all of a sudden accepts it? So the answer could be the next line of the Gemara, which is Rav Ashi Amar, Hova Goli Goli, Lo Amrina. We don't apply that. And the Gemara earlier was based on Rav Ashi's position over here. That's exactly what Rav Ashi is saying. This type of logic doesn't work. Or you could explain it based on the first way that we explained the Gemara, which was that the L'chatchila covered the entire spectrum of Avodah Dot by Shinui Kodesh, and it covered Shchita by Shinui Balim. The Hu then came up on top of that to say that that's the equal in the four Avodot by Shinui Kodesh or La'akev and Zvicha by Shinui Balim. And then the Gemara is coming to say, whole Begoli Goli, that's different than the whole Goli Begoli earlier on in the Gemara. Earlier on in the Gemara, whole Begoli Goli tells you that if you had one Avodah, you wanted to extend it to the other Avodot, that you can't do. Whereas over here, we already know by Shinui Kodesh that it is Ma'akev. And we know by Shinui Balim, it's Ma'akev by Shchita. It wouldn't be a far-fetched extension to say that if it's true of all four of Avodot, La'akev by Shinui Kodesh, and you already established a pattern by Shinui Balim that Shchita is the same way, then you should be able to extend it from there. That would be an easier way to explain the Gemara, although the truth is that the Gemara rejected that before as well, and says you can't extrapolate from Shinui Kodesh to Shinui Balim, and therefore it's more likely that that's exactly what Rav Ashi is saying over here, that it's a rejection. Now Rav Ashi over Goli, Goli lo amrinan. We don't invoke this principle. El Avodot Minolon. So then how do you know that the other Avodot are Me'akev? Dichtiv, Zot HaToda La'ola V'Lemincha. Wait a minute. So he's invoking the Pasuk that we had before, which is Zot HaTorah. But Zot HaTorah didn't include Pesach in it. That was the whole problem with the start of this Gemara. It says that's not a problem because subsequent to that it says, V'Tanya, B'yom Tzavato et B'nei Yisrael Akiv et Korbanayim. The Pasuk afterwards says, in the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the command to bring their korbanot, which is actually for the source that kodoshim are only kosher during the yom. There it says korbanehem in plural. Zeh b'chor maseru pesach. That korbanehem in plural comes to include other korbanot that are not mentioned in the previous pasuk for the hekesh, That is Bechor Maaser Pesach. Hekeshu HaKatuv L'Shlamim. If you add in that subsequent pasuk, now you have a hekesh between Pesach and Shlamim. So now you can go back to where we did this with the other korbanot. By Shlamim, we already established both by Shinoi Balim and Shinoi Kodesh. L'chatkila, you have to do it Lishma. Av Kol Ben Shinoi Kodesh, Ben Shinoi Balim, the mitzvah. So too by korban of Pesach, it'll be the same thing. Uche Shlamim, it's similar to Shlamim. Ma Shlamim Ben Zmicha Ben Shar Avodot. Just like by Shlamim, it's applicable by Shechita and all the Avodot. Lo Chilak Lehen, the mitzvah. So there, you made no distinction in the mitzvah. Av Pesach, Lo Tachlok Bo Ben Zmicha Le Shar Avodot. Okay. So to now, by the korban of Pesach, you won't make any distinction in order to establish that it is me'akev, which means that now we are establishing that the source by the korban of Pesach for shinoi kodesh and shinoi balim is shlamim, the hekesh to shlamim. The ikuv now comes out of the psukim over here. So the one ikuv we learn out of shamor et kodesh aviv asita, that teaches you by shinoi kodesh. Now we have a repetition by all of the avodot. That'll be me'akev me'akev by all the avodot by shinoi kodesh. By Balim, we only have one repetition, which is, Bar-Martim Zevach Pesach Hu La-Hashem. So Martim Zevach Pesach, this is Shechita, now it's repeated by Pesach. So that teaches you that Shechita is the Akev by the Korban of Pesach. How do I then extrapolate that to the other Avodot? Where it says it's paralleled with Shlamim. Just like by Shlamim, you make no distinction between Shechita and the other Avodot, so too by Pesach, you won't make any distinction between Shechita and the Shar Avodot. And just like by Shlamim, it was only about L'chatfila, so extended. Over here by Pesach, you already established it's even L'akev. And so you extend that which you know by Shechita to the other Avodot. Now, Tosfo points out, based on this logic, you wouldn't have to have written anything by Shinoi Balim at all. Because once you establish that Shinoi Kodesh is Pasul and L'akev, then you can extend it like Shlamim. Just like by Shlamim, there's no difference between Shinoi Balim and Shinoi Kodesh. So too by Pesach, you wouldn't have to read anything by Shinoi Balim. And I think you could have said even more by the fact that you could have just said, had it only written L'akev by Shechita of Shinoi Kodesh, then you could have extrapolated everything. Because you'll say, oh, just like by Shlamim, there's no difference between Shechita and the remaining Avodot, and just like by Shlamim, there's no difference between Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Balim, then the Torah only had to write it by Shinoi Balim. But in the end, that's not where the Torah wrote it. The Torah wrote it by all four Avodot by Shinoi Kodesh, and by one of Udash Shechita by Balim. And once we have that, through Shlamim, we can extend it to the remaining of Udot of Shinoi Balim. Because again, Shlamim is now the paradigmatic Korban with regards to Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Balim. Just like there, there's no distinction over here. There's going to be no distinction. And it all derives from the Hekesh between Pesach and Shlamim, which first of all gives us the baseline of L'chatfila by Pesach. And in addition to that, tells us how that format should look by Pesach, when we have by Pesach in particular that Lishma aspect is Me'akev. But then obviously you have a problem, which is the word Hu. The word Hu is what we use by Korban Pesach before to say it's Me'akev. Now you don't need that. Because the baseline was created by Shlamim. The repetition of Sukim created the Ikuv. And so now what do you do with the word Hu? So Elohu Lomali. What do I do with that word? Kedetanya, we need it. Remember, Pesach Hu B'Shechita Me'akev. By the Korban Pesach, where we know that the Avodot are Me'akev, that's because the Hu over there is written by the process of Shechita, which is Amartam Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. The Hu there is written by the Shechita. Aval LaSham Lo Ne'emar Bahu Ela Lachar Hektarat Emurim. When we learned the pasuk before in Daf Hey about Hashem Hu, we said that was distinct from the Hu that is found by the Chatat. And here the Bright is noting it's also distinct from the Hu that is found by the Pesach. Hu Atzmo Shluk Tu Emurim Kasher. And by the Korban Hashem, the Hu, which is the Akev, it's written in a point in time in the process whereby there is no ikuv, which is it's written Hashem Hu by the putting of the fats on the Mizbeach, and if you don't even put the fats at all on the Mizbeach, the Korban is kasher. So certainly the Hu can't tell you that it's Me'akev over there, because it's too late in the process. So the Hu comes to teach you that it is Me'akev by Korban Pesach, Dafka Hu, Lishma is problematic, whereas by an Hashem it's not problematic, and even though the word Hu appears by Hashem, the Hu by Hashem is very different than the Hu by the Korban Pesach. That's because the Hu by the Korban Pesach appears by Shechita, by the Avodot that are prior to the Zrikat Adam, Avodot that could be possible by Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Balim, as opposed to the Hu, Hashem Hu, that is found by the Hashem, which is written by the Hektari Murim, as we already noted back on Hayomud Bet, and therefore you can't use it to show you that it's Me'akev, Because of the fact that the who there is found by Haftarete Murim, and Haftarete Murim itself is not ma'akev the korban. If you didn't bring them, you'd still get the kapara on it because share. Certainly the who can't generate that problem, and we use the who back on Hayamud Bet to teach you Behaviato to hey, that an asham that's nitak the ri'iyah is done the default l'shem olah, and we saw the Machloket Rashi and the Rebbeinu Tam over there as how to explain that. But the who over there by the Hashem is not going to be me'akev. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Zion Amud Bet.